are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are.
your voice? Can you praise him? Hallelujah.
Church is this?
It's an apostolic church.
What kind of church is this?
It's an
Praise the name of the Lord tonight. We come to lift up the name of Jesus tonight. Oh, come on now. It's revival time. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Oh, take your seatbelts off. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we have souls in the house of the Lord tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. We got to press our way through tonight in the Holy Ghost. Amen. When God's people come together in one mind and one accord. Amen. We can break through. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, once again, let's lift our hands, everyone. From the youngest to the eldest, lift your hands and your voices. Oh, Heavenly Father, oh, we pray tonight, my God. Oh, that you have your way tonight in every heart that is here. Hallelujah, you know the purpose here tonight. Oh, we pray for your divine will, that it be accomplished in this service. We give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. Oh, give him a hand clap of praise tonight. He's worthy to be praised, amen. Amen. It's so good to have Audrey Atalano in the house of the Lord tonight. We pray that you make yourself a home and come back and worship the Lord with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome everyone here tonight. I do have several announcements. Thursday night and Friday night, choir practice will be at 7 p.m. Times will be given Thursday evening. Saturday. Times will be given. So, those of you that are in choir practice or musicians, I believe, right? Make sure that you're ready to go for practice. And Jesus, someone say, praise the Lord. Let's not forget Sunday morning and Sunday evening. Amen. We need to fill the house of the Lord. There's many cards in the back waiting for you to pick one up. Amen. There's a lost soul in our city tonight. Amen. That is crying out for a Savior tonight. Amen. And all you got to do is just be sensitive to the Lord. Be sensitive in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And wherever the Lord leads you, just give it to them in Jesus' name. Who's going to do their part? We need to invite, invite, invite. Come on. We need to invite, invite, invite. Praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. It's revival time in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's come back on Sunday morning, Sunday evening. Amen. And let's just find a place to pray and let God have his way in Jesus' name. Someone say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have a prayer request here tonight for Irma Escamilla in need of salvation and healing, the special need. The doctors have put her on hospice, but thank God we know who the healer is tonight. Amen. We're believing in faith. Amen. Also for Arnie Narvarez tonight, and this for salvation and healing. Is it Annie? Annie. Our best tonight is need of healing and salvation, and also for Brother Mike Morales has need of healing tonight in his body. Amen. That God will remove this infirmity from his body in Jesus' name. Also by the uplifting of hands, if you have a need tonight, want to present your need before the Lord here tonight. Also for the word of the Lord as it goes forward, and also the baskets are out for your tithing and offering here tonight. Let's pray on behalf of these needs tonight. Amen, in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we come before you once again in the mighty name of Jesus. Dear Lord, believing, my God, you're a mighty God. You are the impossible God. There is nothing impossible with thee. Irma Escamilla tonight, who's sick in body, in need of salvation and healing. The doctors have placed her on hospice, but we're believing for a miracle tonight, for you are the miracle worker. We present her before you in the name of Jesus. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, let your virtue flow through her body. Also, Annie Narvis tonight, in need of healing tonight, her body, my God, remove this infirmities. We pray in Jesus' name, Lord, for a miracle, my God, that they be made whole again by the power that's in your name. We thank you for the stripes upon your back once again, the blood that you shed at Calvary. Oh, for Brother Mike Morales tonight, who's in need of healing. Oh, we pray, we rebuke this infirmity, this blood pressure, high blood pressure, out of command it to leave his body. We pray in Jesus' name he be made whole again. Oh, my Lord, we also pray for every uplifted need, uplifted hand in the house. You know every need tonight, Lord, as we present every need to you. Also for our offering as we give unto thee. Lord, we pray for your word once again as it goes forward, that your anointed word do a mighty work in every heart that is here. We're thanking you once again. Oh, we're believing in a mighty work tonight in Jesus' name. Oh, let's worship the Lord in our giving tonight in Jesus' name.
Well, I call it Jesus my rock. Jesus my rock. Jesus my rock. Oh, Jesus my rock. Jesus, Jesus.
Oh, let's lift our voices and bless the Lord. Oh, let's give Him a whole lot of praise. Give Him that praise you've been holding back. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. We love you. We love you. What a God. What a God. Hallelujah. Praise. Praise Him. Amen. Tonight, I am going to start a new series of Bible lessons. And my theme for these several lessons that will be taught is on the whys and wonders of worship. The whys and the wonders of worship. And we're going to dig down into this very important part of a church service. And not just in the church service, but within our everyday lives. Amen. I'll tell you, your life is a worship unto God. Whether it's on a Monday, Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Friday, a Saturday, or a Sunday, your life needs to be a witness. It is a type of worship unto the Lord. The way you live, the way you present yourself, the way you talk. Amen. It is a worship unto the Lord. And the Lord takes notice. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, and if we could all stand for the reading of the Word, I'm going to take you to the book of Isaiah, and I'm going to go to chapter number 6. Isaiah chapter 6. And I see a lot of people just flipping through their Bibles and trying to find the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is probably the longest book of the Old Testament. The words within the book of Isaiah are so prophetic. Isaiah has literally, within his writings, given so many prophetic utterances about the Lord and his coming and the places of that God is wanting to work in his people. And it's just a whole book filled, amen, with blessings that God wants to give to his church. So we're going again to Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at verse number 1, if you will follow me. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. His glory filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twine he covered his face, and with twine he covered his feet, and with twine he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Oh, hallelujah. How many want to see his glory? Amen. Let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts here tonight. Lord, we're so thankful for your presence. We know, Lord God, that you are mighty and that you are amongst us. We ask you, Lord, as I teach your word, that your glory could fill the house. You talk to hearts and minds, spirits today, that as the word goes forth, individuals can hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. I pray, Lord, that you would minister here today. Let your Spirit, Lord, be felt. I'm asking in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I want to read again here tonight from this same scripture text, but yet from another translation that possibly gives you a clearer understanding of this verse of scriptures. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple with glory. Above him were seraphims, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I have to live among people of unclean lips, and mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Amen. There's just something about when the glory of the Lord fills his house. His glory does not just come because you are here. His glory does not come because you know him as Jesus. His glory does not come just because of your holy attire, but his holiness Amen. And our worship and our consecration and our hunger is what brings the glory of the Lord upon us. And when His glory shows up, the miracles happen. Because God's glory being among us, He cannot withhold the miraculous among us. The greatest miracle that will ever take place in a midst of a people is deliverance and salvation. Sunday night, when one of the ladies received the Holy Ghost, she said, I not only received the Holy Ghost, she says, but I have been completely delivered. I want you to understand, amen, those are so important of words, amen. The look on her face, her countenance was beaming. Her smile, which she did not have before, amen, showed and proved to us that God had done a work in her. Amen. I thank God for deliverance. But the greatest miracle that would ever take place is when somebody receives the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. One of the ladies that received the Holy Ghost, she sought for the Holy Ghost on Sunday morning. And I told her after I prayed with her, I said, you need to learn, amen, how to worship God. Because I told her it's through your worship, it's through your praise unto God that His Spirit falls and you'll speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. And of course, I explained all of that to her. And when she came Sunday night, when I was preaching, I could almost see it on her, in her countenance, that she was determined that she was going to get the Holy Ghost that night. And when she came, she did not hesitate, but she came right to the front and she lifted up both of her hands into the air. And it wasn't long until God gloriously filled her with the Holy Ghost. I'm here tonight to tell somebody that if you'll just go out and you will just invite, hand out those church cards, somebody's going to come. And when they come, it's going to be the Spirit that is going to pull them to an altar. And God will fill them with His Spirit. It's a promise to those who are hungry. Worship. Worship was God's gift to man and to man alone. Angels worshiped God because they were created to serve. They worshiped Him for what He is. They can't praise Him for what He's done because that alone comes into your economy. Nobody can praise the Lord for what He's done for you. The angels do not have a soul. But humanity was created with a soul when God breathed into man and man became a living soul. Angels do not die. They are spirit beings. They have one purpose, and that is to serve the Lord in any capacity that He demands. But you and I have a choice. We either praise Him from our hearts or we sit on Him. We must praise Him for what He has done. If God filled you with the Holy Ghost, there ought to be a praise that is consistently coming forth from your mouth and within your heart. And we can worship Him for who He is. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I'm telling you, God was in the beginning and God is going to be in the end. Of all of the creatures that God created, man is the only one recorded with the privilege to worship. Man is not demanded to worship. Man is not forced. And when I use the terminology man, I'm using it as in mankind. We are not forced to worship. But every one of us has that choice. I'm either going to praise Him or sit on Him. You cannot worship if you don't have an eternal spirit within you. That's why man can't die. Now I'm talking about for eternity. I understand the scripture teaches us that there is a time. I will paraphrase it. There's a time that all flesh will come to its end, death. Either old age, an accident, just premature death. But man will live forever. And that's why angels can't die. God made them from His spirit. They're spirit beings. And spirits don't die. So man can never cease existing. He will change forms, location, and place. But he will never cease being. The angel who strengthened Jesus in the garden is alive right now. The same angel that fed Elijah or the one that stood in front of Joshua is alive right now. Angels don't get old and they don't pass away. That's why the Lord has not destroyed the devil, because he never violates the essence of his own nature. The devil will also live forever. That is the essence of God's creation. God created us to be eternal beings. Everything God created, not the animal kingdom, not the flowers, not the trees, but mankind will live forever. Worship was a gift that God gave to Adam first. No other creature had it. When man sinned, he cast down that instrument of worship. Thus, God was deprived of worship, the only thing he desires. When you hold back your worship, you disappoint God. When Lucifer was ran out of heaven, heaven was void of worship. And then God gave the instrument of worship to man. In Genesis chapter 1, we read it. The Bible says that the earth was void, was without form. Darkness covered the face of the earth. And what took place during that particular time of the scriptures, mankind does not understand time as it is with God. But in that essence of time is when Lucifer was cast out of heaven. But the Bible says that after the earth was void and without form and darkness covered the face of the earth, it says the Spirit of the Lord moved. Can I tell someone, God's Spirit will always move. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Man listened to Lucifer in the garden, and man took the instruments of worship and threw them in the mud. Now God has spent 6,000 years trying to get man to do one thing, and that is worship. We live in a generational time, a time and an era from many generations gone back of people who have chose to worship what they chose to worship. Man was created to worship. You are either going to worship the Lord or you're going to worship the creation. And our world today is caught up in worshiping creation. They will worship rock stars, movie stars, hello? They will worship nature. They will worship music. You name it, man worships. When they get out on the dance floor, their moves, their mode of dance is worship. Can I tell you, it doesn't change in the church. When we come into His presence, we worship. Amen. We worship. If I dance, I'm dancing for Jesus. If I run these aisles, I'm running for Jesus. Amen. Because He has called us to worship. The elements of worship is the celebration and the proclamation. A celebration is a demonstration of your praise unto the Lord. It's you clap your hands. You dance with your feet. You shout with a loud voice. Whether it is in celebration or a proclamation, when you open your mouth with praise, you're making a proclamation. You're thanking the Lord for His goodness. You're praising Him for who He is. Spiritually lost people are drawn to Christ through worship. Check out our services. When the church is in tuned in the Spirit, something begins to move among us. And as the Spirit begins to move, our guests begin to feel God. Now, it's easy for them to push Him off, and a lot do. They push Him away because they don't want what we really have to offer them, because they like the livelihood in living in sin and the debauchery of sin's conditions. And so they push the things of God away from them. I'm telling you, God only gives them a space of repentance, and then He takes that away eventually, where they will not feel God. I'm telling you, God loves you enough to let you feel Him. And God, in what you feel, it's not just so that you have a feel-good moment, but God is, can I use the term, pulling you to an altar of making, amen, a declaration of consecration that you're going to live for Him with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so spiritually lost people, when they enter into these doors and feel the worship, hear the prayers, it draws them to Christ through our worship. That's why man is so religious. Because man, though he has fallen, is still hungry for God. People call themselves religious, but yet they live the lifestyle of the world. Everyone wants to be identified as a Christian, but the definition of Christian is Christ-like. And if you are Christ-like, then you're going to be like Christ. You're not going to be like the devil on Monday and be like Christ on Sunday. But you're going to be like Christ every day of the week and every moment of the day. But man has lost his way. Even though he seems to be religious, and he tries to fill the void that's inside of him. I have told the stories different times of going and knocking on doors and inviting people to church. And I mentioned one time I walked into a neighborhood, and in one of the first doors I'd actually walked to, there was a group of men around a bass boat. They had been out fishing, and they were all standing around this boat, and I'm sure they were all talking about the one that got away, the big one that got away. And I walked up to them, and one of them said, "Hey, how are you doing?" I says, "Great." I said, "Hey, I'm just coming by today just to invite you all to church." And very quickly, those beer cans started disappearing. Those cigarettes began to be dropped to the ground and kind of stomped on. And all of a sudden, I began to hear them try to convince me that they go to church. I'm sorry. But when I got saved, I changed. I no longer was a part of the world. I no longer allowed the world, amen, to still be attached to my life. Because man's lost his way. He becomes religious. I guarantee you, some of you go to school, and some of you at your place where you work, you hear how they talk. You hear what they talk about. You see how they dress. You even got some of your own family members that will try to convince you they're religious. But it's only in their tongue and expression, and it's not something that they are living. But such is the man that's empty. They fulfill Isaiah 29 and verse 8. "For he shall be as a man, a hungry man, that has fallen asleep, and dreameth a dream. And in his dream he eats and drinks, but when he awaketh, his soul still has appetite." You can fill that natural man with many different things. You can fill the natural man with entertainment. You can fill the natural man with sports. You can fill the natural man with all sorts of Hollywood. But his soul is still hungry. Because the only thing that satisfies the soul is Jesus Christ. And it only can come through true worship. Man who is hungry for God, but has lost his way, created religion for himself. You could be what God is looking for here tonight. You might be here tonight and you know there's something that's missing. You may say you're religious. You may say that you have some type of knowledge of Christ, but yet you know inside there is really something that is missing. You don't have that fulfillment feeling inside of you. You will wake up in the morning and you'll feel that emptiness. And oh, how many will go then to a can of beer? Or how many will try other things to try to feel that emptiness that they feel inside of them? I'm here to tell somebody here tonight that the only way you're going to actually get that emptiness filled with what it's hungering for is when you give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. You could be the one whom the Lord is looking for tonight. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said unto the man, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. He was in a tree. He was wanting to see Jesus. But because he was so small a stature, the crowd had gathered. And Zacchaeus had a hunger within him. And so he scurried up that old tree so that he could get a glimpse of the master. And Jesus came walking by and stopped right where Zacchaeus was. Because Zacchaeus, amen, God felt, amen, that hunger within the man. And the Lord looked up and he said to Zacchaeus, come on down. He said, come on down. Hey, I want you to know today, there are some of you sitting out there that the Lord is calling you to come on down. Come on down into one of these altars and let him fill you with the Holy Ghost that'll give you a life that's worth living. Zacchaeus quickly came down. He didn't hesitate in the pew. But he liked what he felt. He liked what he saw. And so he, with haste, he came down. The woman said unto the Lord, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of the heaven and in earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live, for in him we move, and in him we have our being. John 4, Jesus makes a very profound statement. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship. There is no doubt about it. People are searching for treasures. and Jesus Christ be the greatest treasure you ever found. And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart." You could be who God is looking for tonight. Apparently, everybody that is in his service, sitting in the house of God, is not what God is looking for. As this service progressed, as the prayers were being made, and as the songs began to go forth, the Lord began to seek out a true worshiper. He began to look amongst a crowd of people trying to find one who was sold out, one who was giving their best. Giving their best. My title tonight is "The Gift of Worship Comes from God." You see, there's a lot of people today that has a form of worship, but it's not true worship. There possibly could be some among us tonight that had a form of worship, but our hearts was not engulfed within it. You can praise somebody for something they did, but yet also maybe feel as though what they did was not good enough. And that's how God searches through the hearts of men and women and young people. He does not look at your form of worship as much as he looks into your heart of worship. For God sees the heart over the motion. Though King Saul was in his service and had been anointed with the holy oil, he turned out not to be what God was searching for. So even when Saul was still in the office of the king, God began to search for what he really wanted. I read where the Bible says that when Samuel saw Saul, God showed Saul, he's the man. He stood head and shoulders over the people. Samuel said, "Surely he's the man." And it was Samuel who started out good, but ended up wrong. And so when Saul fell, even though he was still king, God began to search for another. The book of Samuel goes on to say that the Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be the captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go out, and I will send thee to Jesse the Benjamite, For I have provided me a king amongst his sons. Many of us know the story. Samuel got there, and it was Jesse who had sons that were mighty in war. They were robust. They were strong and manhood. And Samuel looked and said, surely one of these have got to be the man. And as each one of them came before him, the Lord said, nope. All of his sons that were at the home passed before Samuel, and God said, no. And Samuel asked Jesse, is there not another? And Jesse said, I have one who is out in the field watching the sheep. And Samuel said, go fetch him. Go bring him quickly. And when David walked into the presence of Samuel, it was the Lord that said, he's the one. He's the one. Can I tell you what it was that made the difference? Is the Lord was seeking, and he found David. He found David out there on the hillside. He heard David playing his harp, singing amen unto the Lord. He saw him when he was alone and by himself as he was tending his father's sheep. He saw in David a man that was seeking him. And the Lord said that he's the man. In the midst of the mess of Israel at the time, God was on a search. The scary point in all of this is to think that God, as he did to David's brethren, he could pass you by. You can sit in the apostolic church for years and God pass you by. Because he didn't see what he was looking for. Do you know when he passes by you? It's during praise service. When there's no praise. It's during prayer service when everyone is up here pre-service prayer and the preacher's got to come to a pulpit and say, hey, all of you that are still sitting down in the back, you need to come up here. You need to join the rest of us. Oh, who are you? Pastor's not here. Who are you? I heard. Who are you? He's in my stead. And you need to respect him as much as you respect me. And if you don't respect me in that term, there's the door. Amen. I want revival. I think I want to see your family saved more than you want to see your family saved. Amen. I'm telling you what, we're in a battle. We're in a fight. Amen. Don't sit on the sidelines when everybody else has got their sword in one hand and praise in the other. Wow, what would happen if we all joined together in unity and we're all praying for the same things? I'll tell you what would happen. People would start getting the Holy Ghost in their pew. People still start walking through those doors because nobody even invited them. But the Spirit drew them to the house of God. I want revival. And just like the Lord removed Saul, he can remove us. David became king even while Saul remained king. For God alone, can I use the term, lifts up and puts down. And the Bible says that the Lord said that he found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after his own heart. Now, God couldn't find something he wasn't looking for. Can I say that again? Now, God couldn't find something he wasn't looking for. How often is the Lord gone searching? And he searched your house. He searched you at your job. He searched you at your school. And he was wanting to see what you were all about. How you acted amongst your coworkers. The conversations. He wanted to see how you were at school and how you presented yourself. He shows up at your family gathering because he wants to see. He's looking. He's searching. But what does he find? I'm telling you, God will seek you out. But when God cannot find what he is looking for, he is forced then to destroy. The presence of God in this service is proof alone that God is on a quest, looking for someone that he can use to spare this city from going to a devil's hell. To understand the awesomeness of God. To seek us out. Ought to grasp us. To become worshipers. As I stated earlier in my remarks, the way that you walk and the way you present yourself amongst your peers at school is a form of worship. On the job, amongst your family. I'm telling you, it's a form of worship. And the Lord seeks you out. When the Lord speaking to the Samaritan woman, he said these words, "Is for God seeketh such." It means he's looking for a worshiper, not so much a worker. He's looking for a worshiper. Martha, she was cumbered about with much, but Mary was at the feet of Jesus. When's the last time you found time to be at the feet of Jesus? You say, the feet of Jesus? Yeah. When's the last time you came to us to an empty church building? No one else around. And you came and fell at an altar. And you begin to cry out and give the Lord your all in your praise with nobody looking on. But let me tell you, there was one looking on. And it was the God of heaven that came seeking and searching for one who would worship. The woman began to stand before the Lord. And she began with her whole heart cry out unto the Lord because of the condition of her daughter. And Jesus looked at her and said, "I have not come." And I'm going to paraphrase. "I've not come to give you bread." She said, "Lord, All I need is a few crumbs, and that'll satisfy me. I want you to know that's what the Lord is looking for, is somebody who's just willing to take the crumbs. Most of us, some of us, we allow too much, can I use the term, junk, to fill our lives. And it is filled so full that we have no time for Jesus. We barely make it to the house of God, yet we fulfill every moment of the day with junk that the world has to offer. Satan's ploy has been to keep us so full of junk that we're not hungry for God. And it has worked magnificently for centuries. The enemy has made us so accustomed to surviving on earthly prosperity, but a beggar's sustenance in the spirit realm, as that crumb meant to that woman with the child that was possessed. Just the crumb. She said, if I can just get the crumbs, that will be sufficient. But most of us keep our lives so jammed with junk. Junk food for our soul and amusements for our flesh that we don't know what it is to be really hungry. The Bible says of the kingdom of heaven, it's the violent that take it by force. I want someone to understand here tonight that if you truly want God to fulfill the void, the emptiness, you've got to come before His presence with violence. That what that word is referencing is you're willing to tear down every stronghold of hell to get to what you desire. That you're willing, amen, to come, and you're willing to press through every bit of opposition the devil throws. I'm telling you, one of the biggest battlefields that you will fight is right here between your two ears. It's in your mind. And I've seen many people come to an altar because as the preaching of the word goes forth, they felt a compelling. They felt a tug upon their heart. They made in their mind, they made a decision. I want what that preacher's preaching about. I want to feel what he's talking about. But by the time you get from your pew to this altar, the devil has been ramrodding into your mind. You can't do it. It'll never happen. You will never change. But I'm here to let somebody know, if you're hungry enough for God, not one thing the devil will try to whisper in your ears or into your mind is going to stop you from fulfilling that hunger and that desire within your heart. What about that desperate woman with an incurable hemorrhaging? The Bible says that she was finding her way to where Jesus was. And can I just paraphrase just a moment? With her elbows, she shoved her way through the crowd until she touched the very hem of His garment. I'm here to tell somebody here tonight that through genuine worship, if you will bring that before the Lord here tonight, before we close, you can leave different than what you came. You can go fulfilled. You can leave here full, amen, of the joy that the Lord has brought to this service in your behalf. Hunger is defined. It's that discomfort. It's that weakness. It's that pain caused by a prolonged lack of food. To have a strong desire or a strong craving. My determined purpose is that I may know Him. That I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Jesus. God alone can satisfy your hunger and your thirst. Jesus said, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart or out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." The scripture reads in Psalms 34 and verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." When you get to that place to where you truly understand how much God loves you, you will seek him. But Satan wants to distort your perception of who God is, so we won't seek him. This is a barrier to hunger that must be broken by a godly revelation. Too many are too easily satisfied with what the world offers. Jeremiah said it this way, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they've hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." For the opposite of hunger is satisfaction. It's being full, complacent, and lukewarm. If you don't feel a hunger or a strong desire for a manifestation of His glory, you're satisfied. But when you're hungry for His glory, you will bring His presence amongst us. And when you bring His presence amongst us, we will see His glory in miracles, in healings, in deliverance. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. I pray, amen, that in you, that there becomes such a hunger for God that you show it on a daily basis. Amen. It's something that you go to bed with on the mind. It's something that you wake up with on the mind. It's throughout your day. It's there. It's right before you. I have a hunger. I long to see the miraculous of God. I long to see His presence sweep among us. Is your soul aching to be in His presence? Does your heart leap within you when you feel His presence amongst you? Don't be satisfied with just mere spiritual dainties. But be hungry to be filled with His glory. We can stand tonight. I really feel this. That's why I put together these series of lessons, because I feel that God is wanting to take us in a realm of the Spirit that many of us have yet not walked into. God wants you to experience His Shekinah, to get into His presence and just to feel, can I use a term, the warmth of His Spirit. He wants us to get to that place as an individual where we find ourselves in the place where God can begin to work upon us. Work in our minds. Work in our spirits. Work in our hearts. Too many don't have time for Jesus. And that's why they are in their spiritual condition as they're in. Too many like just to come. And they like what they feel. They like what they hear. They like what they see. But they don't ever allow God to change them. They come service after service. They always leave the same way they came. Oh, they may come for a moment around these altars. They may even shed a few tears, but they consistently are holding back on God. God placed within every one of you a hunger. God made available in every one of us an opportunity to truly worship. Because worship comes from God. Worship. Worship is a gift that comes from God. You see, when you were in the world, your worship was earthly. But when you came to God, He made your worship heavenly. When God put His Spirit within you, He gave you the ability. He gave you the wherewithal. He gave you a hunger after Him. What have you allowed? What have you allowed? What have you allowed to come into your life that you have substituted heavenly worship for earthly worship? I believe God is calling individuals among us. You see, this is my theme, the whys and wonders of worship. It's when you come and you connect, can I use the term, those dots together for the purpose of what worship consists of. I want you to know you'll walk different. You'll start walking in heavenly places. You'll start seeing things that you couldn't see before with your naked eye, but you start seeing things in the Spirit. I'm talking where God wants to take you. I'm talking about where God wants to take you. Is anybody here tonight have a true hunger for God? Is anybody here tonight have a true hunger for God? Possibly you're here and you want the Holy Ghost. I'm giving you an invitation. Step down these aisles and let God put His Spirit in you. I'm also referencing to those within this church. You've served God for several years, but you've never come to that place. You've never come to that place where you as an individual have connected in that realm of the Spirit, where God elevated you into a place where He alone is able to minister to you. Oh, come on. Let's not just go through the motions. Come on, let's not go through the motions. But let there be a genuine crying out within us for a genuine relationship, for a genuine touch of God in our lives. I've not come today just to feel a little bit of God, but I've come today because I want to feel God's glory in such a way that when I leave, I'm going to know that I've been in His presence.
Show me your power.
Come on, too many of you, you've just been through the motion, service after service, and you never came to a place where you've had a genuine touch of God in your life. You keep making the same mistakes. You keep dropping the same watermelon. You continue to allow the devil to steal from you that blessing of God that He was bringing for you.
I need your glory. I need your power. Less of me, more of you is what I need. I need your glory.
Come on! You gotta open up. To surrender. You've got to let God step in. For God. Get hungry for God.
There's a need for you is what I need. I need your glory. I want your glory.
God, I've got to have you. God, I'm empty without you. Come on, church, let's pray. Come on, church, let's get connected in the Spirit.
I need your glory.
God wants to pour His Spirit out. God wants to feel hunger in hearts that are crying out to Him tonight. Are you truly hungry for God? Or are you hungry for what the world has to offer you?
There's a million more of you is what I need. So many times I tried my way, and all of the pain didn't go away. I realized that you can give me the stuff that is so true.
Come on, you got to open up your mouth and praise. Come on, you got to open your mouth. God can't feel a closed mouth. But you got to open your mouth in praise, in worship, for God to fill you.
Power, less of me.